I want to minister this morning from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. Amen. And before I go into the text, I want to ask a couple questions. And who will be willing to answer this question? I'm going to go around and say, why did you come to church this morning? Why did you come to church this morning? Praise God. All right. There are two types of churches in this world. Only two types. There are churches that are living, and there are churches that are dead. There are churches that are living, and there are churches that are dead. And this morning we're going to look in the scriptures, and I'm going to tell you and teach on the difference between the church that is living and the church that is dead. The Christian that's on fire and the Christian that's just put out. The believer that is having all things of God bestowed on them, and the believer that hasn't had a clue. Right. This morning we're going to look, as we learned in Bible study a couple weeks ago in John chapter 11, the only thing that God cannot stand is unbelief.
Amen.
Where unbelief reigns, sin reigns. Tell your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Where unbelief reigns,
sin reigns.
Neighbor,
neighbor.
Where unbelief reigns,
sin reigns.
All throughout the Bible, the children of God would get themselves in so much problem and go through so many unnecessary things because those that believe wouldn't believe, or it was too hard for them to believe, and because of their unbelief, they go through unnecessary trials and unnecessary tribulations.
Amen.
The sin that you may be in is not God's trial for your life. Listen good this morning. The sin that you may be in is not God's trial for your life. So much of our life, we go to God with our problems. Lord, I'm going through this, and Lord, I'm going through that. And Lord, I've got this situation. And Lord, I'm going through that situation. And we go to God, it's always about the same thing. Me, 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 me. Lord, it's all about me. Father God in heaven, don't you see your servant struggling? Don't you see your servant being beaten up? Lord, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And let me tell you, God has helped you.
Amen.
But unbelief will cause you to make the unnecessary prayer. When we understand today that every single thing in life, every problem, every pitfall, every circumstance has been dealt with, boom, 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 nailed to the cross, the only thing that we should be going to God with is praise. Because all problems that you could have faced in life, Jesus has already overcome. There is not a problem in your life that you're facing right now that Jesus has not overcome.
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that this morning?
Amen.
Jesus is the problem solver.
Amen.
Jesus is the problem solver. He is the healer. He is the restorer. He is the one that makes us right with God. Anything you're going through in life, Jesus has already solved it. But if we don't believe in the Bible of the Christ, or in the Christ of the Bible, I guarantee you'll live your life like a natural man.
Amen.
A natural man doesn't know what to do. If a natural man loses his job, the wife dies in the car accident, or the husband runs out and cheats, a natural man is going to do a natural thing and turn to rage. Maybe anger. Maybe depression. Maybe drugs. But a spiritual person, when a bad thing happens in the natural, we are to, what? Fret about it?
Call on God.
Call on God. We are to call on God. We have this advocate. We have such a great arsenal in belief that the world knows not of. But if you are a child of God that does not believe, I'm not talking about believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Anybody, the devil can say that.
Amen.
The devil knows who Jesus is, remember? And when he crossed over to the Gadarenes, Jesus, Son of God, what have we to do with thee? The devil can say that, but he don't believe. Meaning that the devil knows who Jesus is, but he doesn't believe in the power of Christ. Otherwise, he wouldn't do all the things he tried to do. It's a lost cause. Let me tell you something this morning. You not believing in Jesus Christ the way you ought to is a lost cause. God wants to bless you. He wants to bring you out of where you are. He wants you to a place, wants to take you to a place that you know not of. But if you cannot believe him, if you cannot take him at his word, sin will reign in your life at every point. Sin will reign in your walk. Sin will be in your praise. Sin will be in your mind, your thoughts, your actions. Remember a couple weeks ago we ministered on what faith is? And in Hebrews how it says it is impossible to receive anything from God, for God respects those who believe that he is. Amen. So until we believe in God, you will have a life in sin. And again this morning, we're going to learn the difference between a dead church and an alive church. Amen. Let us read Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, and talking with him. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us here? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Isaiah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of God be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then shall the scribes and Isaiah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, Isaiah truly did come first, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Isaiah has already come, and that they knew him not, and have done whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. And the disciples understood that he spake of them, of John the Baptist. Amen. Now in this text, we understand the story. Jesus goes up to a mountain. And on this mountain, he shows his disciples. He shows Peter, James, and John who he truly is. Jesus came in this world cloaked. He didn't come in the fullness of his glory, but here on the mountaintop, he gives Peter, James, and John just a glimpse of his glory. He gave Peter, James, and John just a glimpse of who he truly was. He came close because had God come in his glory, had God come in his full splendor, no one could have received him. So he came born of a virgin, amen. But there's a key verse here that is overlooked, and this one verse will tell the difference between a dead church in a live church. This one verse will either make you alive or it will keep you dead.
All right.
Look at me in verse 9 of chapter 17. And this message is simply entitled, Go and Tell the Vision. Amen. Verse 17 of chapter 9, or chapter 17, verse 9, it says this. And they came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, Tell no man the vision until the Son Tell no man the vision until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Jesus said, Hey, my chief apostles, my good faithful disciples, I have something I want to show you, but I don't want you to tell anybody until I'm risen. Guess what, church? Jesus is alive. Where is Jesus right now?
He's in heaven, right at the Father.
Where is Jesus right now today? Where is Jesus in your life? He's in our, the Bible says that he'll come and make his abode, him and the Father, right in our hearts and lives, amen. But here's what Jesus said. Tell the vision after I'm dead. Tell the vision after I've been resurrected. Tell the vision. Don't be afraid. The Son of Man's going to die, but he's going to be risen again. Church, we have to stop living on the wrong side of the the wrong side of Easter. I can't count how many times Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die, and that he was going to be buried, and that he was going to be risen on the third day. I can't count how many times he said that in the scripture, but we know he said it, amen?
Amen.
And he tells us things to give us comfort. In John chapter 11, in verse 3, or in John chapter 11, it says, in that chapter we have the story of Lazarus. And the word came to the Lord, Mary and Martha, and sent a message to the Lord saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. And Jesus sent back a word. And he said, the sickness is not unto death, but that you might see the glory of God. When God's word comes, it's ought to give you comfort. Amen? So Jesus told his disciples time and time again that the Son of God must suffer, that the Son of God must go to the cross, that the Son of God will be like Jonah in the belly of a whale 3 days, and then be risen. Amen?
Amen.
So he told his disciples these things for comfort. But because they did not believe.
Amen.
The only thing that will make God cry is unbelief.
Amen.
The only thing that will make God cry is unbelief. If you read through John chapter 11, as we learned a couple weeks ago, Mary and Martha, they made so many preparations. They bought a tomb, they bought the casket, they hired lawyers, they made all this great ado because their brother had died. Oh, Lord, if you'd only been here. Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus would not have died. Why didn't you come, Jesus? Why didn't you come, Jesus? You could have saved him if you were here. But you didn't come for your friend, the one who you love. That's what Jesus had to hear. He had to see his children, his friends, walking around miserable, crying, making a big show. Oh, Jesus! We thought he was sick, and he didn't come. Jesus, why did you come for Lazarus? We said glad that he was sick. You could have healed him. You opened the blinded eyes. You made the lame to walk. Why did you come for Lazarus? And that's what Jesus had to hear. The scripture says he groaned in his spirit because he had sent his word.
Amen.
He had sent his word. But because they didn't believe, they went through a great ordeal and they sinned. They bought a tomb. They had a funeral, and they buried a person that was alive. Unbelief will kill the child of God.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher, that I have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. What are you saying, preacher, that the life that I'm living ought to match up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, I'm considered an unbeliever. Yes, it does. You see, you can't have a belief on Christ to where he can only do some things for you. Understand that. Some people only believe in Jesus as the healer. Some believe in Jesus as the Savior. Some believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Some believe in Jesus as a great prophet. But if you can't believe and who he is, and what he's done, then you're an unbeliever. The sin that you're in is because of unbelief.
Amen.
Look to your neighbor and say, the sin that you may be in, is due to unbelief. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you're going through a problem, belief will solve it. You see, God is tired of hearing his children cry. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, why did you take this boy from me that was not my husband? Oh, I'm happy. Why did you let him walk out on me in my chair? Oh, Jesus. Why did you let all this stuff happen in my life? God will help us believe by causing destruction of those things that are not of Him. How can we expect God to bless us in an unbelieving condition? The Word of God clearly says, believers have no fellowship with unbelievers.
Amen.
Yet you have a child of God that tries to do this and think that they're going to have a prosperous walk with God. It's not going to happen. What fellowship has light with darkness? None. But you'll find Christians trying to form a relationship with something that is not of God. Hence, it's unbelief.
Amen.
Now, the church before Jesus died was on fire. They were going around. They were healing people left and right. They were laying hands and so on and so forth. And they saw great grace of God. But as I said, we have to stop living on the wrong side of Easter. Do you think that God is still not the God of the judges, the quick and the dead? Do you think that God can't still strike someone down like Ananias and Sapphira? Do you think that God still can't open up the ground and suck a sinner in?
Amen.
Do you think God has changed so much that His Word incorporates sin and grace and makes them good? He's the same God today that He's always been and evermore shall be.
Amen.
So sometimes we'll let the devil trick us.
Well,
and cause us to think that the Lord is not watching. Or that because Jesus has died, that His Word no longer remains. Understand this, church, that we have to stop living like Jesus is dead.
Amen.
When He says, go and tell the vision, go and tell the world that I'm not just king of earth, but I'm king of heaven and earth. Go and tell the vision that you saw a man that was born of a virgin shine like the sun, because I am the sun. Go and tell the vision, amen. But we'll find again in the scripture a church before the cross, or I'll say it better, the church before the resurrection was a dead church.
Amen. That's right.
What, preacher? If you have a dead walk with Jesus, I guarantee you've not been resurrected.
Amen.
What happened in the scriptures when Jesus died? We find in John chapter 20 and verse 19, the same day was at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be still, peace be unto you. And when He had said, He showed Himself His hands and His side, and His disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. When Jesus had died, instead of them telling the vision,
all right,
and tell them, and instead of them being prepared for the vision, because the Lord said, go and tell them after the Son of Death. What did it say? Tell the vision to no man until the Son of God be risen again from the dead. So instead of preparing for the glory and the resurrection of God, they were hiding because they were scared. They couldn't share their testimony because their king had been killed. They couldn't open their mouth and say, you know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They were shut up. They were hiding. They were defeated.
Amen.
They had fear of man.
Yes.
They couldn't open up their mouth. Why? Not because the Lord didn't tell them to, but because they did not believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
If you don't believe in the Word of God, your testimony will be shut up. Your walk with God will be shut up. Your only life that you'll have with Jesus will be behind closed doors. We are to be a city set up on a hill.
Amen.
Not underneath a bushel. Yet we find the 12, the ones called by God, given all the revelation, given all the word, stuck in a house, scared. Amen?
Amen?
Then Jesus came. You see, the scripture says, Jesus came and stood in the midst. When God gives you His word, in your time of fear, the Lord is in the midst. We have got to stop thinking that Jesus is dead.
Amen.
It's true in our action. You might be able to say with your mouth that, oh, I believe Jesus is on the throne. If Jesus is on the throne or in the throne or on the throne of your life, then there's no need to fear man.
Amen.
There's no need to fear what man can do unto you, because you have God. And when the disciples finally realized, when the Holy Spirit finally showed them that, oh, guess what? He did say this. He did say he was going to die. He did say he was going to be raised. He did say he was going to be resurrected. When we are to live in that, Paul would say, the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
God did not just crucify you to keep you on the cross. He put you on the cross to put an end to you. But as we fall down in Romans chapter 6, knowing that we are planted together with him in his likeness. Amen. That will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Church, it's time to get resurrected. The word resurrection means a standing up again. You see, the disciples, they had fallen down because of unbelief. But when God came, when Jesus came into their life, there was a standing up again. The church that is alive is the church that realized that after the cross, there is a resurrection. Because of the cross, there is a resurrection. Because of the cross, I can have life and have it more abundantly. God doesn't want to hear you weep as much as he wants to hear you praise.
Amen.
God does not want to hear you weep anymore.
Hallelujah. Ain't that
no more. He shed tears of blood so that you don't have to weep. God should wipe all the tears from their eyes, because the child of God shouldn't have to weep. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, go and tell the vision. Neighbor, we are more than conquerors in Christ. The God that we serve is not dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? When people come in this door, they should see the living, not the dead. Because when Mary went to the tomb, they even said, do you seek ye Jesus? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He has risen just as he said. And what happened to Mary when she heard that word? What happened to Mary when she heard that word? Her tears were turned to gladness. Rabboni, she thought it was a gardener, but it was Jesus. Rabboni, don't touch me, lady. I know you want to hold me, but guess what? The glory, just like on the mountain, cannot be held. It's going to come out, and you can either get in it, or you can be left out.
Amen.
You can either have the Christian life and have the glory that God wants you to have, or you can just go through life like a normal man acclaiming Christ.
Yeah.
There should be nothing normal about you.
Oh.
Look at him as a neighbor.
Neighbor.
There should be nothing normal, about you. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
There should be nothing normal about you.
There should be nothing normal about you.
Why is that? Because of Jesus.
Amen.
A church that's alive got what we call them crazy members. That man is crazy. He'd be running around church, talking in tongues, shouting always so happy and joyful. I think he's on drugs.
No.
A church that's been in the resurrection is the type of church where you can't have just a CD playing. Because the praise is true in their life. Because someone's experienced, you know what? I've had a resurrection. I was beaten down. I was crucified. But on the third day, just like God raised Jesus, he raised me with him. And I finally realized it. Devil, you've been done for by the cross. The problem in my life, you were taken for care of at the cross. When you start understanding that the cross was the means to new life, you're getting raised to new life.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 10 that I have come that you might have life. That you might have life. Meaning that you didn't have life before Jesus. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, church, the church that's living is the one that realizes that they shouldn't be like Martha. That they shouldn't be like Mary. Though we've seen no sign from God, though we haven't seen Jesus walk on the water with our very own eyes, though we weren't there when the multitude were fed, because God sent his word that whosoever believeth on me should not perish but have everlasting life. That word should bring life to you. No matter what the circumstance might be, Lazarus died in the natural. He was buried in the natural. But when God sends his word, what do you think is more than natural? Supernatural. When God speaks his word into a natural environment, something supernatural happens. Amen. Take up your bed and walk. Because the person that said it is supernatural. If I would say it in my own power, take up your bed and walk, ain't nothing going to happen. If I would say it in my own power, open your eyes and see. If I were to say in my own power, go and sin no more, nothing would happen. Jesus came from heaven down to earth. And sometimes Hollywood paints pictures of aliens. People come from outer space. And aliens always have these abilities. No matter what sci-fi thing you ever look at, these aliens always have abilities. Some can use their radar beam, and so on and so forth. But Jesus, not of this world, came to this world, and guess what? He is more than you or me. He is supernatural. He is God Almighty. He can speak things into existence just by the word that comes from his mouth.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We have to know who it is that saved us.
Amen.
Go and tell the vision. Jesus has risen. How many people have you told about Jesus? How many people have you told about Jesus? Go on, answer. Answer to yourself. How many people have you told about Jesus? But understand this, we tell people about Jesus not by what we say. John said it like this, my brethren, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So how many people have you told about Jesus by your actions, by your love, by your compassion, by your willingness to help? Because that's the mark of a Christian. How can you say you love God and love not your brother, who you see every day? You see, the church is full of words. But when you've been in the power of his resurrection, no matter what comes your way, no matter what trial you might be in, the word of God prevails, amen? I come to you this morning because we have to tell the vision. I believe in this church that God has people that are hiding from the world because of whatever might be going on in your life. Sin will take away your testimony. No one wants to testify for God when they know they're living something they're not supposed to live. Amen? No one wants to do that. But the bottom line is this. Regardless of whether we believe the word or not, the word of God stands. Mary and Martha, they didn't believe the word of God as they ought to have. Because they went through all sorts of unnecessary things that the word of God would have stopped. Don't you know the word of God will stop you from sinning?
Yes, it will.
Do you know that? The word of God will stop you from going down the wrong path.
Amen.
The word of God will cause you to have life and to have it more abundantly.
Amen.
But how we believe will determine how we walk with God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So ask this morning, who's going to tell the vision? Who will tell the vision? See, Jesus, his glory has been hidden for too long.
Amen.
And the three people that saw it were to tell the world about it. And they did, otherwise we wouldn't have it here in our word this morning.
Amen.
But the bottom line is, Jesus has risen.
Amen.
Will you go to God tonight and weep? And talk to God about your situation? About how everybody in the world is hurting you. Because we don't believe that what Scripture says this, that they have done this to the master of the house. How much more should they do unto you? We do not believe that Scripture? If we learn to take God at His word, we'll learn not to frustrate the Holy Spirit. If we learn to believe in God and not to always doubt Him. You know, people will doubt the things of God clearer than anything. Why? Don't know. That's the way man is. But people never doubt what they can see. I see that you're here today with my very own eyes. I don't have to doubt that. Don't know how you got here, but you're here. And when it comes to God, even after His resurrection, even after He has been risen from the dead, the Scripture says that some of them still doubt. This morning, will you make God cry? Or will God rejoice and say, well done? When you come to the point in your life where God has finally got you to believe, He'll say, well done. He did it with Abraham, didn't He? He said, Abraham, now that I know you fear me, because you were going to give your own son. That was God saying, well done.
Amen.
I ask y'all to stand this morning. I want y'all to have life and have more abundantly this morning. There's no need to come to church and be not full of light. You see, Peter, James, and John, they were changed forever. They couldn't look at Jesus the same way. They knew at that point that Jesus truly was the Son of God. And they had to hold that in themselves until Jesus was risen. If you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, raise your hand. If you know that He's the only way that people can be saved, raise your hand. Let us tell the vision. No one's going to know about it unless we tell. Amen.
Yeah.
If you need prayer or salvation this morning, you may come. Don't let unbelief reign in your life for another day.